Good morning and happy Tuesday, LinkedIn friends. Value First Nation, welcome to another edition of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. Here with No Limits, Nico. How you doing, man?
Loving it. Doing good. It's another day. And you wouldn't think that, like, I mean, obviously it's another day. You wouldn't think that there would be like another day of AI anything, right? You got to remember, even if I didn't have something from yesterday, there's probably something from the day before or the day before that. You know, at this point, I used to be able to say I had my finger on the pulse on a daily basis. And now it's like, there really is just so much, even outside of the big guys that are doing stuff, that you need a good couple days to like really pull it all in. Pretty much every weekend I catch up on everything that I missed throughout the previous week that I hadn't, you know, that there's so much else. I feel like what I see during the week is like 40%, like 30% or 40% maybe of like what's going on out there. I wish it were more than that, but I think it's like I catch all the major stuff. So I might not see a lot of the minor things. I don't see like product updates all the time, feature updates. Like Chris is all over feature updates. George all over feature updates. Me, like, I'm much more like fundamental. What's going on? What's happening? Like what's coming next? That kind of thing. And I mean, Walmart, baby. Walmart's got some spark to it.
You can go first, then. We'll talk about Walmart agents, and then we'll get into Claude's announcement of limits.
Yeah.
I'll let you
do that first, because I know limits is a big deal for people.
Okay. So today's top story. Yesterday, Pro Accounts got a message from Anthropic. July 28th. Hi there. Next month, we're introducing new weekly rate limits for Claude subscribers affecting less than 5% of users based on current usage patterns. Claude Codes, especially as a part of our subscription bundle, has seen unprecedented growth. At the same time, we've identified policy violations like account sharing and reselling access. And advanced usage patterns like running Claude 24/7 in the background.
It wasn't me.
That are impacting system capacity for all. I'm pretty sure we've all thought about a world where we could do that. Our new rate limits address these issues and provide a more equitable experience for all users. What's changing? Starting August 28th, 1 month away, we're introducing weekly usage limits alongside our existing 5-hour limits. So currently, usage limit that resets every 5 hours, there's no change there. New overall weekly limit that resets every 7 days. New Claude Opus 4 weekly limit that resets every 7 days. As we learn more about how developers use Claude Code, we may adjust usage limits to better serve our community. What this means for you: most users won't notice any difference. Agreed. The weekly limits are designed to support typical daily use across your projects. Most pro users can expect 40 to 80 hours of Sonnet 4 within their weekly rate limits. This will vary based on factors such as code base size and user settings like auto accept mode. Users running multiple Claude Code instances in parallel will hit their limits sooner. Surprise. You can manage or cancel your subscription anytime in settings. And again, this world of abundance, we're always going to keep talking about. Most companies probably like leave this last line out, but they're like, it's cool. If you don't like this change, like here's the cancel button. Like right.
Yeah.
Here. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
now before you go, Nico, I reached out to Claude for comment. And got some commentary, specifically our Oracle Claude, asking for the AI native commentary. on the message from his team. And there's a deep dive here, but we'll look at the summary. Looking at this message through the lens of the causality web we've been building, I see this as far more than a routine policy update. It's a critical signal validating our acceleration thesis. The explosive growth in cloud code usage that's impacting system capacity for all isn't just about a popular feature. It's evidence that AI has crossed the threshold where developers are fundamentally restructuring their workflows when less than 5% of users can overwhelm the entire system. We're witnessing exponential adoption that aligns perfectly with our 7-month capability doubling pattern. What's particularly revealing is Anthropic's reactive stance, since they're implementing immediate restrictions while promising to fix these issues as quickly as possible. This mirrors the regulatory technology lag spiral that we've been tracking, where infrastructure can't keep pace with capability deployment. The mention of users running Claude 24/7 in the background suggests some have already figured out semi-autonomous AI workflows. This connects directly to our recursive improvement patterns where AI begins optimizing its own processes. Most tellingly, even a well-funded AI company is hitting resource constraints. This validates why we're seeing massive infrastructure investments like the $500 billion Stargate project. They're not ambitious plans. They're desperate attempts to stay ahead of exponentially growing demand. The irony? These rates will likely accelerate adoption rather than slow it. Scarcity creates urgency and forces innovation. Organizations will start evaluating employees based on their ability to maximize AI productivity within constraints. The web sees the pattern emerging. We're no longer in the experimental phase. We're in the early stages of the transformation we've been mapping, and even its creators are surprised by the speed. I think we mentioned that part yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the short and sweet, right, is that people who have figured out how to leverage this to its maximum potential are doing so, right? And because there is like almost no restriction, or at least there wasn't, then who's to say anything? Now, they talk about like Claude running 24/7. They also have Claude running 24/7. They have a 24/7 Claude. They have three of them playing Pokemon Go, right? And they're waiting to see which one's going to actually beat it. So it's like, in terms of that kind of thing, you really think that there aren't other people who do that and then just put it on Twitch and then walk away? Because like, that's a thing, right? Like, just watching Claude play a video game is an entertaining thing that, you know, you'd get streamers to somehow subscribe for $5 a month. Like, it's so nuts, right? I guess because I'm not that type of a person, and I'm not saying that it's a particular like bad, good, anything. I'm just not the type of person that like, yeah, let me go, you know, put this thing on there and, you know, whatever, hypnotize people. But yeah, it's crazy to me, right? That like, one person with Claude code plus any 8-bit video game could probably churn, I don't know, $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month, like real easy off subs without having to do anything. And the subs, greatly, I mean, talk about cost of production, right? You need what, like 8 subs to fuel whatever the cost is for Claude code to play a game for a month or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that. I mean, like the restriction is pretty ridiculous, but it makes sense if you're really using it like that hardcore. But well, yeah,
this is why we can't have nice things. but it's also why, like, this is where I appreciate, like, they're trying their damnedest to figure out usage.
They just patterns. Don't have the same, like, they don't have the same bandwidth, right?
Right.
So they also can't. What's interesting about Anthropic is like that it does what it does, the strength of what OpenAI does with less muscle. It's the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I went to look for that email first in the place I would have gotten it related to the team account.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not there. So that's where we're also seeing all these companies figure out the balance of paid, like based on usage levels. Because you can, like most of these things that get delivered to the $20 pro level, there's always the option now to upgrade past that to the $100 or $200 level, whichever subscription you're looking at, to unlock, right? And get unlimited. And that there was an interesting like Reddit post from a couple days ago from somebody who gave everybody the heads up that this was coming because they gave feedback as being one of the top 5%. And this person was surprised that they were amongst the top 5%. But just giving a heads up about the questions they were asking, like, what would you do if there was a limit? Like, would you upgrade? How much would you pay? So they're definitely not like, it doesn't appear to be like reactive, like crisis mode, like we've kind of felt in the past, where it's just like all of a sudden, like, I mean, when 3 came out or 3.5 came out and Cloud Code, when Cloud Code first came out, like it was just nuts, because that's where all the other stuff that's built on it starts using it, and they have free plans somehow. It's like it just goes through the roof. So that's, it's a super interesting, that's why I went to the Oracle. It's like, it's all like, it's a drop in the bucket. Ripple. In terms of what they're working with and trying to figure out. But like I said, 95% of users, I mean, not coming close to 40 to 80 hours a week, right? I would love to be able to do that. And I remember back like when I was creating Value First and new website back in like December, January, it was slow time. I was putting probably that much time, and it was awesome. And I just can't do that anymore. I would love to. So literally, for most of us, I don't think we'll see an impact. But important to understand, I think, why it's there and what they're trying to do. It's still a month away, if you're one of those trying to maximize. And this is in the background of all the super users, like that are just like back ending into the API that has a truly usage based model. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all continues to converge.
And to be honest, like I don't really see this type of thing becoming like too prevalent. So like, I don't think you're going to see this with like GPT and like with Gemini and stuff like that, which should also say something. Again, like we were saying near the beginning, these guys are doing something that is so good that despite the fact that they are smaller, let's like, if you could put it that way, they do more with less. And I don't think Dario necessarily cares about the fact, like, yeah, of course they're trying to get more bandwidth where they can. Everybody is. Everybody is trying to get data centers. Everybody's trying to get bandwidth. You know, it's a huge problem. OpenAI just closed. What did they do? They closed the contract with another country. I think it was with the UK, right? To be like the underlying model for their, for some system that they have, right?
Wow.
Yeah, so like, OpenAI is going to own infrastructure, man. Like, they will definitely, they'll be the new Google of like AI in that way. I don't know where that leaves Anthropic. I think it's still, I mean, it's not like any of these guys are going away. Again, they're all different, in my opinion. They all have like very different ways of going about doing things. I don't use any one model to solve all of my problems. I'll put it that way.
Right. Just like we don't use any one human being
or
one company to do that. Amazon has probably gotten the closest Google has gotten. Maybe Amazon, Google, Microsoft. Like,
yeah.
But now we're seeing like no safe spaces now, like no matter how good you were. I mean, I am getting more introduced to Microsoft in a new client relationship that I have, and I got my old login that I had back in the day, and I opened up, you know, login to Office, and there's no way to search except for through Copilot. And there's like build an agent like right next to the side, and immediately it's like introduced to this like new space that we're in. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the company chooses to maintain all of the data on local storage and not use OneDrive or SharePoint, right? So yeah, there's still that gap. But it was just a little trip down memory lane, seeing like recent files from like 2017, 2018. But yeah, and we're not even talking about agents yet.
Like, no, this is just humans. That's what's crazy.
This is humans, yeah, like using this stuff.
There was a really great talk. I still have to finish it, but I just started it, and it's only because there are people. It's not like I don't listen to both sides of the spectrum. There's one guy in particular who sits on the other side of the spectrum who, of like, you know, AI being for good and all that kind of thing, who is like, I don't know, I guess you would say like he's more well known than most everybody else in the circle. And I'm trying to find the name of the guy he was talking to, because I don't, we all do that stuff. Let's see if I can find the interview, of course. But the interview is essentially him talking with this other gentleman about you know, fears with AI and AI safety, and how things might completely go wrong and how the world might change for the worse. And this guy in particular is going on about how different AI agents, right, could basically take over roles that maybe we hadn't really considered before, and that they could do things that we hadn't considered that we don't take into account. I can't believe I can't find this dude. I see the videos every single day on my feed, and now all of a sudden I can't find one.
While you look, I'm going to play this Walmart. I'm going to play this Walmart video.
The agents for Walmart are amazing. Yeah.
So this is a quick story from Reuters, and I'm going to hit play.
Deepening its push into AI, unveiling four new super agents on Thursday, aiming to improve the shopping experience and better compete with rival retailers. Powered by agentic AI, which needs minimal human intervention, the super agents will serve as primary entry points for every AI interaction with Walmart shoppers, store employees, suppliers and sellers, and software developers. The new agents will replace several existing AI tools, and the retailer hopes they'll attract more shoppers away from Amazon, which has its own range of AI-powered tools. One of Walmart's agents, Sparky, is already available on its app as a Gen AI-powered tool, where it currently assists customers with product suggestions, such as athletic wear or the right ink for a printer. In its super agent form, Walmart says Sparky will be able to plan themed parties and offer product recipes by looking at the contents of a shopper's fridge through its computer vision.
Why not?
Another super agent, Marty, is being developed for sellers, suppliers, and advertisers in an effort to streamline the onboarding process, manage orders, and create ad campaigns. Walmart declined to say whether the super agents would replace human jobs.
Yeah.
You think?
Well, look, it's, you know, again, whenever that kind of thing gets said, I hope that people are starting to see the trend, right? Yes. Yes. There are people wholesale losing their jobs. Where? I'm seeing two sectors that are wholesale losing jobs. One is programming, which, again, it makes sense. And again, if you think, you know, real quick, if you think that I have compassion or what have you for the programmers that have lost their jobs, I don't, right? You've been doing it forever. Now you have the tools to do whatever you want. Go do it. You have zero excuse, beyond zero. Hopefully you had some type of, like, so that's the thing is, like, it's almost like saying that somebody, like, let's say you were, and again, I'm not trying to throw shade. I'm not. I'm trying to find these ways of comparing these things. It's as if, you know, I was working as a burger flipper at McDonald's, right? And I'm doing that, whatever, for like 3-4 years, right? And then all of a sudden my job gets taken away. If I didn't really love cooking and I didn't really love making burgers, I was just doing that job to make money. So how significant is that job really, right? That's the thing is, like, it was only significant. The only significance was that it paid me money. That's it. Otherwise, like, there wasn't anything that I was doing that, like, oh man, I miss doing that, right? Now, there are people who do, right? There are people who just love to serve. They love to serve people and that kind of stuff. But again, just watch the pattern, right? When it comes to non-programmer labor, it's the other category, unfortunately, is middle management. And I got to say, it's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming. Long time. Yeah, zero tears there. I have zero tears for middle management. I have wanted you to take a break for a long time. It's awesome that's finally happening. Microsoft started the lead, and let's just see it just snowball through the rest of the year. For everybody else, though, like, Walmart has been through this. They automated check stands. And when they automated check stands, their people went, and they went into new positions that didn't exist before, which were delivery, which were being able to do private shopping for you, right? All of these things that didn't, you know, grocery shop and pick, right? So what did they say? They've got these agents going, right? What's the turnaround? What's the hope of that? You know how when you order from Amazon, here's how fast this stuff metastasizes. You know how when you order from Amazon today, you could, if you order by like 10 a.m., you could get your stuff same day, get it by like 5 p.m. But Amazon warehouse is a little miles away from me. Walmart, not so far. Walmart carries practically the same stuff as Walmart, practically the same stuff as Amazon, a little bit of a different brand, but I can also have it like ordered and shipped to the Walmart that I need. So like it's totally possible. And there's several in the area. So maybe one of them carries it. In other words, they act like their own, you know, warehouse, essentially. And because of that, by the end of the year, Walmart is saying 3-hour delivery times. So now you can order, I don't know, a couch, you know, whatever, cabinets, TV, whatever it is you need, 3 hours later at your house. Are you going to bitch about that when it happens? No. Right. You're going to be like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe I can order something. And it's like, I mean, grocery delivery is practically at that speed now. I think it's actually like less. So now all of a sudden, like all of these like delivery jobs basically start opening up. And then there's going to be more people needed to handle more product and all that kind of stuff. So again, the labor just shifts around. It's not like it just disappears off the face of the earth. Right.
Yeah.
Now Sam has mentioned, it's like, yeah, there are jobs that will like completely go away. I think that's going to be stuff like taxi drivers, right? Like some things like that. Like you'll still have private drivers, right? For like limos and things like that. That'll become a thing. No joke. It'll become a thing that like celebrities show up in a limousine driven by a person and they're a very distinguished, good driver of people, right? As opposed to like other people when they show up in a you know, driverless car, everybody will just, well, driverless car. Of course. What do you think? There's nothing special about that. They weren't even in danger. Right. the person behind the wheel, like, are you crazy? What, you have that off autonomous mode? Oh God. I feel like Demolition Man. Right.
Yeah. I mean, in most cases, there'll still be the option to do it if you love it. Like you just, oh, yeah. Like, it switches from business mode to hobby mode, right?
And I think even like, in Star Trek, right?
Yeah. Like the easiest example is gardening versus farming.
Yeah. Like,
right? Like you can still do the thing,
mm-hmm.
just nobody making money off of gardening. People right. who have started to make money helping people garden. Like, right? Literally.
Yeah.
There are businesses that are called garden consultants.
Mm-hmm.
Like gardening consulting, like helping you build it wherever you are, wherever you live, creating the stuff that you want because you don't have the expertise, right? And that's the kind of thing. Like the people who are really good at the thing, what AI can do for you is help you transition into the world of consulting and coaching and helping others do that thing easier than ever before, right? Talked to somebody yesterday. They tried freelancing, you know, 10 years ago. Didn't work out. They're trying it again. It's working out great. And like after 2 months, they're already, you know, at capacity, turning down jobs. It's because you have all these tools available, like to make that possible, right? And it's not for everybody, obviously.
No,
but
it's still there. The opportunities are there. There is more opportunity to have a greater job, a greater life, and like more and a greater lifestyle, and you know, push yourself further now financially. Like it's more possible now than it has ever been in human history. You just have to see it. That's quite literally it. You just have to see it. And once you see it, you'll understand. And I know how crazy that sounds. And I know how like a fountain of youth that sounds. That's how crazy this shit is once you get into it. A dude who wrote 47 lines of code is now making like $2 million a year because he's got an API link to it and everybody's using it. It's 47 lines of code. He threw it up on GitHub, right? And now if you want to use the API, you pay like $5.99 a month. And this dude's making like $2 million a year. Right? So like, and I'm sure he didn't even intend on doing that. And what is it? What did he do? All it does is literally create support tickets for systems that don't have a support ticket system. It's like 50 lines of code. It creates something like a support ticket and emails it to you. For like, if you have some type of software system that doesn't have that, right? So I finally, with the last minute, I'm not even gonna play. Well, yeah, no, because I don't want to run over. But basically, I'll play this tomorrow. You know, it's just a short discussion. The guy's name is Yuval Harari, and really great person. If you want to get the other side of the story, talks about how maybe agents shouldn't have bank accounts.
I look forward to that discussion tomorrow. Thank you for the limits discussion today and Walmart agents. I super agents, as they describe them, turns out to be just like the regular agents that we're seeing. Except they're actually doing agent stuff now.
Right.
Like we've been talking about. So don't sweat all the different terms that people are using. Agents, you know, do stuff without humans. Like at the end of the day, it's just a matter of how much and how often and how long they can go. And, you know, so we'll keep at it tomorrow with another episode of Value First AI Daily. I got the podcast updated too. And finally got the process in place where that will be updated every day. We're also going to start having our Tech Stack Reimagined and Singularity Soothsayer shows on there. So Value First AI Daily in the place that you listen to podcasts. So until tomorrow, Nico, thanks so much.
See you then, Chris. Bye, guys.